Thank you, sir. Bless you. Woo, woo, woo. Woo. Come on, come on. Good to be in the house. You know, it's driving down memory lane, just driving down the road, getting here. Tom's old house over there. You done moved up, Pa. Looks good. You know, we don't just like you. We love you. We love you. Moni and I have been so excited to be here because we do have so much history here. We love your church. We love your leaders. We have a lot of history. Matter of fact, when we started hanging out, you were Tahoma Assembly of God. That's who you were when we started hanging out together. And with Pastors Dave and Darlene Easterly, dear friends, Pastors Ed and Marcy, love them, Pastor Tom, Patty, and our MCs. You know, your MCs years ago came and helped us get our leadership school started. We're now going to be our 19th year of doing classes. And so I was just telling Pastor Tom, he's getting fruit in Spokane. And he hadn't even been over there for a while, so... And then now the next generation of pastors, you know, you are blessed with the lead pastors that God has given you guys, Pastor Justin and Kara, Pastor Ryan, Pastor Jim. Man, God has blessed you guys. You've got the next generation coming up. Can you show the picture of my crew? The ladies probably saw this picture. This is Thanksgiving Day, or Easter Day, Thanksgiving. That's why I bring her. She will correct me often, and I need correcting often. So that's Moni and I, and we've got three grown kids. Our two girls are married. Kelly, our son's not married yet. How about any single gals in the house need a little bit of... Okay, never mind. We have six grandkids, and they all live within just a few blocks of us. So we have heaven on earth. I thank the Lord often for it. It's a huge blessing. So that's our crew, the Spokane fam over there. The message I have for you today is really to the church, the major portion of it, but I'm believing through parts of it that God's going to speak to you as individuals and God's going to speak to marriages today. But the bulk of the message today is really to the church, and I'm going to talk a fair amount about our journey at Victory Faith that we've been on, and God's, I believe, going to give you some ideas for some things for you all. Do you know that we all have a destiny tied in with a local church? Every one of us has a destiny with a local church. It actually starts with our personal life. Every one of us here has a personal destiny. Jeremiah says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Okay, personal destiny. Every family has a destiny. Now, you might have some renegades in your family out there serving the devil out there, but we're not going to give up on them. We're going to pray for them, believe them to get turned around, get saved. And so our families have destinies. How many times in the book of Acts did a whole family get baptized together? Then the third level or layer that I talk about is your church. Every one of us is called to be a part of a local church family, and we have a destiny together with a local church family. The fourth level is your city or your nation. It's a geographical destiny. Every one of us, I believe when we come before the Lord, he's going to ask us these five questions. How did it go with this? How did it go with this? How did it go with this? And so the fifth one is the biggest one, and it says David, King David, served the purpose of God in his generation. We need to know before we leave this planet, what was God's call on our generation? Do we know what God's call and destiny? So those are five areas. Today, we're going to camp in local church destiny, and we're going to talk about that. As we grow as a church and as we mature into the future, sometimes the world and sometimes we help the world, we put ourselves in boxes that God never had in mind for us to be in boxes. And I'm going to talk about some of the boxes we at Victory Faith got out of. At Victory Faith, that's our home church. How long have we been there, Ma? 28 years at Victory Faith. Our core values, all those 28 years, have pretty much stayed the same. But how we do church has adjusted and gotten better and better over time. Well, Craig, how can you say it's gotten better and better? Because of the fruit. Jesus said, I'm supposed to be a fruit inspector. You know, we can get religious sometimes and say things are better or things are worse, but what's the fruit? And so for us, I could line up and talk about fruit that because we haven't changed our core values, but because we've changed how we do church, the fruit is so much better. The discipleship is so much better. The souls being saved are so many more than they used to be. I could go on and on for the fruit that has come from those adjustments. So I'm going to talk about a principle, and I'm not going to start with it in a church. I'm going to start with it because this principle is for marriages too. So do you know, this is probably a shock to some of you, husbands and wives can be totally different. Good thing you paid good money to come to hear that today. Husbands and wives, Moni and I could not be more different in so many ways in our life. Raise your hand if you're somebody, you know we're really different, husband and wife. Raise your hand. It's a badge of honor. Come on. You're really different. You can be gifted differently. You can have different temperaments. You can have different personalities, different motivational gifts. And now catch, this is, don't tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. Then he takes people like that and puts them together and says, okay, now you're one. What's with that? You're one. And so, we just did a series recently about relationships, and one of our sessions was about marriage, and I got this revelation that I shared with our people that, sometimes we get upset with our spouse, and we think they make things come out of us, and it's the spouse's fault. Do you know, actually, that's not true. Whatever came out was already in there. And God, we should be thanking the Lord for showing us what was in there that we weren't aware was in there. Because all these relationships we have in our life, there are things in a marriage that just aren't in any other relationship. Hopefully you don't go home every night with somebody else in relationships, just husband or wife. Sex, there should be no sex in any other relationship other than marriage. How about money, making money decisions? How about throwing these little things called kids in the midst of that? So these things that are in that relationship that aren't in any other relationship can just cause things to come out. So when we realize, I don't have anger issues, it's my spouse. No. You've got anger issues. Your spouse just helped you identify those anger issues. So we should be saying, Lord, I thank you for my spouse that has shown me I have zero patience. I have no patience. And so, God, I'm so grateful you put this spouse in my life to help me discover that. So if we are very different in a marriage, it can be a huge frustration. One's looking through one lens, another's looking through another. We could say things like, why don't you see things like I see things? We could say things like, why don't they process things like I process things? And depending on how we look at this, it can be a frustration, or that difference can be one of the biggest blessings in our lives. That's what it's supposed to be. So let me talk about Moni and I, my favorite partner in crime. Moni and I, Moni is administrative on triple steroids. She is amazing. I don't know if any of you ever read in the past, Gary Smalley wrote a book about, and he broke, this is a real simple one that I hang on to, four people types. And he says there's golden retrievers, they're the loving folks. There's lions, they're the take charge leaders. And then there's beavers, who are the administrative ones. And then there's otters. Moni is a lion, and she is a beaver. She is a leader, and she is an administrator. I'm not kidding you. She's amazing. I am not. I am far from that. I'm a dreamer, and in Gary Smalley's world, I'm an otter. I love parties. I love parties. And a bad thing about otters is they can invite people to a party and forget to go. So I get in trouble now and then for that. Moni is very prophetic. I'm more pastoral than prophetic that she is. And so just to name a few differences, these could be huge frustrations or they could be big blessings. And it depends on how you look at it. Let me tell you a little bit about her administrative gift that dwells in this one over here. She is high, did I say that? High level administrative person. I am not. She starts packing for international trips 3 weeks out. That's administrative. And you know what? I love it. Used to kind of frustrate me a little bit. I love it. Because you know what? Before we got married, night before, where is that suitcase? And guess what happened to me out on the road? How come I always forget things? Anybody here, before I got married, I would go Christmas shopping. Can you guess when? Christmas Eve. Why would anybody go cross shopping before Christmas Eve? And I would run through the stores trying to hit them before they closed. I paid way too much money, got things I never should have, but I'm running out of time and I got to come up with some gifts really quick. So we're really, really different in those areas. She sees details in an amazing way, but she can see too many details to where they actually overwhelm her. I don't see all the details, obviously. I can see the big picture, and I have an ability, probably because I don't see the details, to stay calm in the midst of a storm. We're a great team together in this area. It's I call it a divine tension, a divine stretching. She's really strong in this area. I'm really strong in that area. And instead of saying, okay, you have to either be this or you have to either be that, why don't we be both and? Why don't we take both of these strengths and why don't we put them together and come up with something really cool? So in this season of our lives, we are dreaming and we think God's plan for us is to plant Victory Faith campuses around the U.S. and around the world. And we've got our first ones in Bungoma, Kenya. We've got a campus there, and we've got some others in the works in different places. And I'm a 30,000-foot person. I can dream around the world. Don't even break a sweat. Dream around the world. And I've got all these plans, what we're going to do at the 30,000. And she keeps asking silly questions. Like, well, what can we do today that would help tomorrow come to pass? Why will you ask me that? And then how will we handle this when we get to this point? What's going to happen then? Don't mess with my dreaming. At 30,000 feet, everything is smooth. Everything looks good from 30,000 feet. But I would never get anything done. We wouldn't have built any of the things, hardly, that we've built without our two gifts working together. So it's an awesome thing. So it doesn't have to be either or. It should be both and. It should be a combination of both of our gifts. And we appreciate the strengths and giftings in each other more and more as we grow over time. The longer we're together, the more we appreciate each other. And now I'm not only looking through a lens of and seeing what my gift can see. When you put the two of us together, we see far more. Our panorama is huge when we put our two giftings together. So, that'll work for some marriages around here. Who knows who? Now, I took that in a marriage. Let me bring that into a church, and I'll talk to you about GHCC. Just like in a marriage, there are divine tensions in a congregation. In some situations, people can try and tell us, well, it's either or. It has to be either or. And you can have these tensions. Let me give you some examples of some things through the years. I've heard people say, well, is your church this or is it this? Is it a young church or is it an old church? Is it a big church or is it a small church? Is it attractional or is it missional? Now, attractional, if you don't know, is everything happens really on Sundays. It's all about Sundays. Missional is we're out there on a mission for Jesus doing things. So I've heard that said. Are you attractional or are you missional? Are you a discipleship church or are you an evangelistic church? Are you local or are you global? Are you a small groups church or are you large services church? Are you flexible or are you structured? Are you spontaneous or are you ordered? Here's one that I hear quite often. Are you spirit-led or are you structured? Why does everybody want to put us in boxes? Why do I have to put myself in the boxes people want to put me in? So I'm going to make a few general statements. Moni and I have the honor and privilege. We get to be mom and dad to churches in Australia, in the U.S., all over the place. And we've gotten to be in a lot of church settings. And these next statements I'm going to make are general statements. They're not true in every situation. Say they're not true in every situation. Sure enough, as I start labeling some sayings, I'm saying, well, Craig said, bless God. I know I can think of an example where that's not the case. I'm talking about a general statement where most often this is the situation. Let me describe it. In observing the Big C church around the world, let me just break them into two groups. And that's almost impossible to do, but I got the mic. So we're going to break it into two groups. The first group is structured, administrative, very pastoral, focused on people out there.
A growth model. Now, in days gone by, you might have heard terms like seeker-sensitive. It's really not a term that's used that awful much around the church today. I believe there's been some change and growth, and now I would describe it more as a growth model, very focused on people out there. Not as much room in public services for a moving of the Holy Spirit in corporate services. Many churches in America are moving this direction. I don't believe it's a bad thing. Many of these churches today are growing, and they're seeing a lot of salvations. But some of the people that hunger for Holy Spirit to move in corporate settings are moving out of those churches and into some other churches. So an observation that I've seen is organized, structure, order, can see a lot of souls getting saved, neat and tidy, but some people are moving out of those in some of those. Second group, only two groups in this model here. Second one I would call Spirit-led. Now, actually, I believe almost every church in America is Spirit-led. You know, it's kind of like a badge of,
are you Spirit-led? Yeah. Bless God, yes, we're Spirit-led. What else would we be?
And actually, I believe every pastor pretty much prays and is led by the Spirit. Made it look differently? Yes. This is my old terminology that I especially would have used in years gone by. Sorry, a Spirit-led, prophetic, gifts of the Spirit used in Sunday services, apostolic, free-flowing, has heart for cities and nations, many of these churches are not growing as much. If they are growing, most of that growth is transfer growth from people whose church has shifted to the first model, and they're looking for a place where the gifts of the Spirit are moving. Christians looking for more of a revival atmosphere. Observation, presence-driven, prophetic, they're inspiring people, but by and large, gathering saved people. So many people are saying, well, are you Spirit-led or are you structured? Are you spontaneous or are you ordered? Implying that it has to be either or. At Victory Faith, we've decided it's not either or, it's both and.
Good.
It's both and. Don't tell me what I can and can't be. Good. It's both and. That's what I see in the Bible. Both and. We're going to be both and. So we will have seasons, and I'm getting to some scriptures to use in a minute. We will have seasons when one is stressed over the other. Do you ever have seasons in your life when work is a little more important than this or family's a little more important than that? You flow in and out of seasons. God's big in seasons. So we have seasons where one is often stressed over the other, more in the forefront. We'll have seasons where there's strong prophetic flow. We had our conference we call Awakening Cry last year. We had Lou Engle, Dutch Sheets, Rachel Hickson. You want to talk about light your hair on fire, Holy Ghost time. We had some of the most powerful time I've had in years. It was amazing. We'll have different seasons like that. We have times at Victory Faith when the Holy Spirit gets moving in worship and we throw out the message. We're just going to flow. We've had services a couple times a year where God shows up and I'm not getting up there and preaching, and whoever else was not going to. God's liking this so much, we're just going to stay there. So that's how we operate. That's how we flow sometimes. So during those seasons, those that have been saved in our church in more of a structured season are looking around going, what's happening? What is with that? What's going on? And people that lean more towards Holy Spirit spontaneity, prophetic services are saying, oh yeah, baby, this is awesome. This is awesome. So you got these kind of two bodies living together under this one roof. When we have seasons, though, that we get into maybe a series and it's more structured and we're really teaching through this and we're really thinking of the lost and going through that type of thing, then what happens to that prophetic crew? They're kind of like, boring. Come on, what are we going to do around here? Let's get this thing going a little bit. Throw a little fire on the altar and make a little noise. Come on. It's a divine tension. It's a divine stretch. It's not either or. It's both and. I'll tell you what, it's easier to build an either or church. It is easier. Personally, that's not exactly the fruit I want. I would rather have both together, learning how to walk together in their giftings and callings, like God almost thinks he wants that because he puts marriages together that are different, people together, so they got to learn to grow together. It's a divine tension for us, so we've decided to be a both and. Okay, now let me give you a scripture. All that I said, let me give you a scripture. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. We'll start there. You know, it's so awesome to see our MC grads, GL grads, and they got kids. Come on. It's just awesome. You know, I felt like when we were worshiping, I had a word for that group, that particular group here too. I remember my Christina. Christina is our middle child, youngest daughter, and Christina went through our master's commission many years ago, and she got to go preach with Lou Engel to 400,000. She's preached to more. It'd take me 20 years to catch up to who she preached in one group, one setting. Got to preach to 400,000 people on the mall in Washington, D.C., going all over the place. I'd carry her bags to go to conferences. She was getting asked to go to conferences. I love it. One of the coolest things I've ever done. And then I remember a season in her life, she got married. She started having kids. Where's the preaching? Where's all that? You know, I can go wherever I want, do whatever I want. I felt like the Lord wanted to say to you MC grads that are married and you've got kids and you've got family, that this is every bit as important this season of your lives right now as it was when you were in that place and you were getting raised, you're getting trained. Today you're wiping poo off of bottoms and you're wiping snotty noses, but God is raising up the next generations of fathers and mothers. And so I just felt like the Lord wanted to encourage you with that. It might not look like it has in the past, but right now is just as important. What you learn, the lessons that you're learning right now are just as important as what you learned years gone by in GL or MC. So there's a word from the Lord for you guys. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he, speaking of Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary. Oh, here we go, Mary and Martha. I know where you're going. She had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Let me read it to you in the message, Luke 10, 41 and 42. The master said, Martha, dear Martha, you're fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing. One thing only is essential, and Mary has chosen it. It's the main course and won't be taken away from her. You know, I, through the years, and I've heard other pastors preach it, Mary's always the hero in this story, yeah. Right? Come on, Mary's always the hero. But listen, you have two very different women here, two different giftings, two different personalities, both from God. Very important, both from God. You have a serving gift, motivational gift to serve in Martha, of hospitality, structure, and work, and you have a prophetic gift in Mary that is locked in like a laser on Jesus and not going to look at anything else, which is awesome. Martha, the problem was Martha was projecting her gift upon Mary. Mary, why don't you see what I see? Mary, why don't you do what I'm doing? You should be doing what I'm doing. Why don't you do what I do? Why can't Mary see what I see? Because she's gifted differently. She's gifted differently than you. Sometimes husbands and wives, that's an issue right there. They're not going to see what you see because they're not wired to see what you see. Can we grow? Can we be trained in it? Hopefully, yes. If we're not too stubborn, yes, hopefully. But listen, God created them both. God created them both. The issue or the problem was Martha's frustration. It was the projecting of her gift onto Mary was the problem. Mary should be doing what I'm doing. In this story, one gift got frustrated with a very different gift and a very different temperament. So for us at Victory Faith, and forgive me for keep bringing in Victory Faith, that's all I got to work with. So he talked a lot about Victory Faith. That's my back, that's my yard, that's my jam, that's what I got to work with, okay? That's it. So at Victory Faith, we will have seasons that are more free-flowing, Mary, and we will have seasons that are more structured and organized, Martha, and where God has brought us to, in any given service, every week, I will have people sitting in our congregation that have never been to church before in their life. I love that. I love that. That thrills me to no end. Every service, we have people, I meet them, every service, we have people that have never been in a church service in their life. And they'll come up to me, and I'm meeting some people, and they'll say, that prayer thing you were talking about sounds awesome. Where did you get that? I mean, what's with that? That's that healing thing. I'd never heard of a healing thing like that before. I love it. And I also will have people sitting in our congregation that have walked with Jesus for 70 years, 50 to 70 years. And so my assignment is to stand up in front of them and connect with both groups. Only Holy Ghost. Only Holy Ghost can do that. It's called the manifold grace of God that takes one message, and by the manifold grace of God, takes that one message and meets every heart there. It's awesome. So in those seasons, we have modified, like I said, changing how we do things. If someone is going to have a prophetic word, which we don't have as often from the stage as we used to, seems to kind of go in seasons. But if someone's going to get up and have a prophetic word, almost every time I or someone else will get up, knowing there's people sitting there that have never been to church before, and explain very briefly what's about ready to happen. And you need to understand, I'll give them a layman's term of prophecy. Well, we believe prophecy is God speaks to one person, they're able to take what they hear from God and give it to someone else. But the Bible says, and we'll give them the scripture, that it'll be for edification, exhortation, and comfort. You're going to feel better after this word comes forth. And you know what most people's worries are, especially when they start hearing about God talking through a person to people in an open setting like this, especially the ones that don't know the Lord, are going, he knows where I was last week. God is just going to blast it in front of everybody and say, and you, Ralph, you were at the bar three times last week, and you were. No. And so we let people know, hey, it's going to be edifying. It's going to exhort you. It's going to comfort you. You're going to be happy you got that word. Put them at ease. So those are the type of things that we change and we explain to people, because if we don't, those that don't know God, do you know we talk a lot of Christianese? If you could record you and me on a normal day, standing especially up on a stage and sharing in a church, it would be sad. Because we talk a language that a lot of people out there don't talk. We talk, I call it Christianese. So we'll do that, but we understand God has called us to have both, not either or. About 8 years ago, the Lord got us a new facility in Spokane. It was crazy, impossible, amazing. We couldn't have afforded it, and God got it for us. It's just off Interstate 90, Argonne Road, and I wouldn't trade it for any building in Spokane. It's been a huge blessing. We made a decision at that time when we moved into that building. We said, hey, we are an apostolic, prophetic people. We want to become evangelistic. Not evangelical. That means a whole bunch of different things to different people. Evangelistic, where we see people get saved on a regular basis. People, first time salvation coming to Jesus. So 7-8 years ago, we began a journey and saying, God, talk to us, because it's not happening. So obviously some things have to change. We wouldn't see that many people saved in services. So we did a number of things. Some of what I just shared with you of thinking through the minds of people out there. And we started doing altar calls. And the first, I don't know how many altar calls, nobody got saved. Bless God, this is going to work, though. We're going to keep doing this. We believe in this. To where today, for the last 2 years, we average 10 brand new salvations every week in our three services. 10 a week. 10 people a week, first time salvation, saying yes to Jesus. And then we've got a system where we take them in, and we give them a Bible, we give them gifts, we give them different things, and we start them on their journey. And some of them stay at Victory Faith, some of them go other places. That's in the Lord's hands. This a week ago, Easter, in our services at Easter, we had 43 people, first time salvations. You don't think that's exciting? That is. I'm going to tell you, roll my pants up and run through the mud puddle. That is exciting stuff. It is one of the healthiest things going on at Victory Faith today. I can't tell you, when we sit at the end of a service and we have an altar call, our people are just praying. Quietly to themselves, God, save people today. Come on, God, save people today. And then to have it happen and to have these people, do you know it is so healthy? There is a danger in hanging out with people that have known the Lord a long time. Just going to be honest with you. They're awesome. They can be awesome. They can be totally awesome, but they can be crusty as all get out and religious as all get out too. That made a lot of people happy. I can tell right there. But like I said, to sit down with somebody, and obviously they are new to church, and to listen to them talk, I do cartwheels inside just to, you know, tell me about this. What part, what What's the Bible anyway? Tell me about this. Tell me about that. I love it. Salvations are one of the healthiest things going on in our church. As a matter of fact, there's a chapter in Luke 15, where Jesus is meeting with, it said, some reputable sinners. I don't know if they got posters up for these people or what exactly. Sinners of repute. These are some hardcore sinners, I guess, is what they're trying to tell us. Jesus is sitting with them, and there's a group called Pharisees. Say Pharisees.
We don't want to be the Pharisees, right? Come on now. I know you don't.
There's a group called the Pharisees and scribes, and they're sitting around, and they're yipping and nipping at Jesus because he's hanging out with the wrong people. And so Jesus, this is the audience. He's speaking this story, three stories, tells three stories. First story, he is talking to the Pharisees. First story says there was a shepherd that had 100 sheep. He says one was lost. And he said that shepherd left the 99, went out and found that one sheep and brought it back and threw a party. They still didn't get it. Okay, he keeps rolling. There was a woman that had 10 valuable coins. She lost one of those coins, turned her house upside down and inside out, and didn't quit until she found that coin and then threw a party, let everybody know, I found that coin. They still didn't get it. So he goes to the third story, and the third story, anybody tell me what the third story is? It's two boys. We like to think there's one lost and one not, but they're both lost. Two lost boys. Yeah. One has run away from home, demanded his inheritance, run away from home, and he's lost. The other is at home, and he's just as lost as the other one, just in a different way. And the audience knows they're the lost boys in this story, or they're the boys in the house. So this story, the son comes back, the father runs to meet him, embraces him, receives him, loves him, accepts him, blesses him. But the brother in the house, the older brother, listen, he will not even come into the house. He's upset. He's upset for several reasons. He's upset because the father has forgiven this brother that was lost and now is found. Says he's angry, and then he takes off on his dad and said, I've been here slaving, one translation says, I've been in the house slaving for you every day of my life, and you don't do this for me, you don't do that for me, you don't do this for me, you don't do that for me. So what is the MO of the older brother? If it's somebody in a church, church is all about me. I come to church because you got really quiet at that moment right there. I know, I noticed that. I might have gotten quiet too. Don't you want to know if you're being like the older brother? Don't you wish, anybody have a gauge on your car that shows you when the fuel's low? Yeah. Come on. Thank goodness for that. Yeah. Some people press right past it and still need to buy gas, but if you got a nicer car, it'll even tell you if you got air in your tires or if your tires are getting low. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad your phone tells you when it's down to 10%? It says, buddy, do you want to shut down or do you want to press on and go dead here? What do you want to do? Aren't you glad? I used to have a torn auto car, and it would talk to you. It would say these two things. It would say, you are low on fuel. Just out of the blue, you're driving down the road. You are low on fuel. And then if you left the car door open and started, it would say, the door is ajar. The door is ajar. And I always say, thank you. I'll close it. Do you know that every one of us has a propensity to act like the older brother? Now, if you don't think so, God help you. Every one of us has a propensity to act like the older brother and to act like the Pharisees. I'm right at the front of the line. Well, Craig, what does that look like? Well, I come to church and it's all about me. It's what I can get from church. It's what church will do for me. It's not meeting my needs, not my songs, not my, I've been in the house, I've been doing all this, I've been doing all that. Older brother, Pharisee. Do you know that? Wouldn't you like to have a gauge that tells you, instead of tires are low, you're acting like the older brother? Beep, 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 beep. Acting like the older brother. Well, there are two gauges. The first one is, his name is Holy Spirit. Challenges, we press past him a lot of times when it comes to areas like this. The second gauge that God gives us, that we're starting to act like the older brother, is when we really aren't concerned about the lost. We're becoming a Pharisee, we're acting like a Pharisee, we're acting like the older brother, when we're not on search and rescue. Do you know the Bible says Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. If I'm going to act like him, I will be seeking and saving that which is lost. And so church becomes something very different. Is it a place for me? Yeah, and especially if you're brand new, you get saved at church, it's all about you. Yeah. It's all about you for a season. Come on. Yeah. But you got to grow out of that. Yeah. Come on, come on. Baby steps to the elevator. Come on, you got to grow out of that. Come on, somewhere along the line, it needs to become not about me, but about others. Yeah. That's God's plan. Yeah. That's God's plan, that he wants us to walk that out. And that's an indicator. And I, you know what? I got really convicted. I preached that message to our church before Easter. And you know who was at the front of the altar? Me. Because it's easy for me to get so concerned about other things. I'm on my phone out there, and there is someone that is needing, searching, and rescued next to me. And I am so absorbed in my phone, I don't even see him. I know you guys don't do that. That's just me. Let me give you one more verse. James chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. It says, you can develop a healthy, robust community. We all want that, don't we? You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoys its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other. Don't look at anybody right now. Bad time to look around. Treating each other with dignity and respect. Husbands and wives, we got to treat each other with dignity and respect. Everybody here in church, we need to treat each other with dignity and respect. Let me finish with this. You know, the tent of meeting in the Old Testament, the tabernacle, it had a structure, it had a system to hold the presence of God. People had assignments and work and tasks that they did. In order to carry the ark and have God's presence in the Old Testament, they had to have structures and systems that carried it. I love that. To move it according to God's desires. The tabernacle of David had organization and structure. Remember, David got into the presence of God and said, he comes back and says, hey, you know, we used to have three horns over here. I want 1,000. Don't tell me that didn't take some structure, some system, and some planning to pull off having 1,000 horns around the altar. Is it presence or is it structure? For God, it has never been either or. For God, it has always been both and. See, in our daily lives, many of us would love to only wait on God's presence. But the lawn needs to get mowed. The dishes need to get done. I got to work to pay the bills. I don't know about you. But then in the midst of that, it's not either or. I mean, it's not either or. It's both and. In the midst of that, when I get that done, I go get in God's presence and I meet with him there. You know, without Martha's gift of serving, hospitality and structure, this story would never have made it into the Bible. Do you know that? That story that we love to tell and cheer Mary on, if it wasn't for Martha and her gifting, this story, this particular story, would not have made it into the Bible. This encounter would not have happened because it was Martha that invited Jesus into the house where the encounter took place. We love to say, Mary's the hero. Hey, Martha's the hero too. Just got a little frustrated. Little gift projection, got her in a little trouble. Do you know that God loves you? He loves you so much. He loves you so much. And I don't know if God brought anybody here today, and maybe you don't know the Lord, but listen how he feels about you. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. There's a scripture that says the Father loves us like he loves Jesus. And we know, God, you really like Jesus. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. Do you know you don't have to clean up your act to come to Jesus? Isn't that awesome? I'm so glad he didn't do that when I needed to come around, because I was a flat-out mess. And that's that Father running to meet us. Do you know that kid smelled like pigs? Who knows how long since he'd had a shower or a bath or anything? And it says the Father ran to him, embraced him, kissed him, loved him. And what was the Father's response? This kid has got everything rehearsed. And the Father says, go get the best robe, get a ring, get the best food we've got in the house and bring it out. That's what God says to you and I. When one person turns their heart towards God and says, I think I need God, that's what the Father does as he runs. Would you all bow your heads and close your eyes? Come, Holy Spirit. Come, my friend.
Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, Father, you love everybody here. You love everybody here. You know, you might be sitting here, you go, I don't know how I got here. I got invited by somebody. I saw the sign, whatever it is. Maybe you've even been here a while. But salvation, coming into God's family, not just a church, but coming into God's family is saying yes to Jesus. And I just want you to know, he loves you. Doesn't matter where you've been, doesn't matter what you've done, he runs to you today. Your life can change today. Your life can turn around today. Today cannot be an ordinary day. Today can be the best day of your life. At the age of 20, I said yes to Jesus, and I have had purpose and destiny. He lifted a ton of bricks off me. The sin that I'd done, the wrong things I'd done to people, he lifted it off of me and set me free. With every head down, every eye closed, if that's you, and you say, Craig, I want to turn my life around. I want Jesus. I need my life to change. If that's you, would you just boldly raise your hand right now? I'm not going to have you come forward. I just want to know who I'm praying for. If that's you, say, just boldly raise your hand. Say, I want Jesus. I need Jesus today. Thank you, Lord. I'm not going to be in a hurry. I'm going to just take another second. I see that hand. Thank you, Lord. Come on, today everything can change. Today everything can change. Thank you, Lord. So good. All right. Would you stand up with me? Can I finish this up here? Thank you, Lord. I want to lead us in a prayer. Now, I don't know if the hands that I saw were airing out an armpit, or we're blessed by the Lord, or we're somebody saying yes to Jesus. But I want to take an opportunity. Romans 10:9 says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we believe that God raised him from the dead, the Bible promises we will be saved. So I want to ask, if you raised your hand, or if you didn't, and you say, Craig, I do need Jesus, I want to turn my life around, then I want you to pray this prayer. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. You follow me in it. And I always have our Victory Faith family as an encouragement. Come alongside others and do the same. Would you repeat this after me? Say, Jesus, I need you. Forgive me for where I've been and what I've done. Wash me today. Make me a new creation. I believe you came from heaven to earth. For me, I believe you died on the cross for me. And I believe, best of all, you rose from the dead for me. Today, I'm born again. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I take just a couple more minutes? You can sit down. I felt like I had a word. GHCC, let me just prophetically speak over you. You are an amazing church. You are. Some of you need to hear that. All of you need to hear that. You are an amazing church. Why are you an amazing church? You're an amazing church because of the amazing people that is in this church. You're an amazing church because of the amazing God that you serve. GHCC, you are an amazing church. You have weathered some incredible changes of seasons in this house. You have weathered the transition of leaders. You have weathered the loss of a precious leader. And I could go on and on of different things that have gone on, but I want to tell you, you are still here. You are still here. And God says, amen, attaboy, attagirl, way to go. Do you know it's not how you complete it, it's that you completed it. Do you know there are no style points in the kingdom of God? There are no style points in the kingdom of God. It's like prayer. Does this look good for prayer, right, like this, okay? No, it doesn't matter. There's no style points in the kingdom of God. Listen, Jesus would send his disciples into storms. He did. He sent them into storms. What kind of God is that? He would send them into storms. Their first crossing in Matthew 8 in a storm, they went from Capernaum
to Gergesenes. Now, listen what Capernaum, the definition of that city, Capernaum. The city of comfort, town of pleasure, the handsome city. Whoa, I like Capernaum. Let me read that again. Come on. City of comfort, town of pleasure, the handsome city. Woo! And they land in a place called Gergesenes. Listen what it says. Those who are on a pilgrimage, those who have come from a fight. Wait a minute. I don't know if I want to go there. You know what I can tell you about those guys getting off the boat? They looked something like this. Yeah. We're here. There's no style points. We made it. Yeah. We made it. I said we made it. We're on dry ground. We made it. There's no style points in the kingdom of God. On their second crossing in John 6, they headed out of Capernaum. No, they wanted to go to Capernaum. Of course you want to go to Capernaum. Who doesn't want to go to Capernaum? The beautiful pleasure, all this good stuff. And they got blown off course. And they landed in Gennesaret. Now listen what the definition of Gennesaret is. They're growing. Come on. They grew from the first. They're growing. They're growing. Listen where they landed. Gennesaret. Listen what it means. The garden of the prince. Ooh. Or of him who governs. Come on, Jesus. Come on, GHCC. You've been in a fight. Come on. You've been fighting for this church. You've been fighting for your marriage. You've been fighting. Doesn't matter how it looked when you got there. You made it, bless God. You're there. You're there. We can't worry about style points. Listen, Jesus was not afraid to send his disciples into a storm. Do you know what? The second time, he had to manually put them on the ship. They didn't want to go. I ain't going out there without you, Jesus. I ain't going out with you. And he had to make them go on the boat. Do you know what? Theories and good ideas don't make it through a storm. A lot of us, come on, Christians in this day in America, we have a bobblehead Jesus. You know the Mariners. The Mariners have the bobbleheads. We have a bobblehead Jesus on the dashboard of our car of life. And we think we know who Jesus is. And we think Jesus is this. And we think Jesus is that. But then we hit a storm and we better find out who Jesus really is. Storms are meant for my growth and your growth. I am supposed to grow and mature, and I may come out the first time looking like I came out of a fight, but the next time I go back, I'm going to land in the garden of the prince is where I'm going to land. And the other thing that storms are for, there are always, GHCC, there are always people on the other side of your storm. I could name off every person that crossed over. There are people waiting for you on the other side of your storm. What are they waiting for? For you to hit shore with the real living Jesus, not a bobblehead Jesus, but a real living Jesus that can heal their bodies, that can restore their marriage, that can save their soul, that can change a city. There are people, you've been through battles, you've been through hard things. There are people waiting for you on the other side of your storms. I love you, GHCC. You're awesome.